Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody.
With insert host's name here.
On 670 The Score.
Pat Mattingly is the host name to insert here on Score Afternoons, along with me, Matt Spiegel. Mark Grody. Let's be honest. Have you ever gone to the local bar and pounded your chest and said, I'm the best? Have you ever
there
done
was
that?
There was one point in time in my life where I did that, and I actually can't account for a lot of the things that I did. So I'm just going to go with yes.
Okay.
I'm going to go with yes.
All right, yeah. Good answer.
Probably happened. Like, yeah. I make most lists of, have you ever done this when you're drunk? Yep, done that. You ever been nicely walked out of a bar before? Yeah.
All right.
It's happened before. Well, have I ever fallen on my face after and broken my jaw after leaving a bar? Yeah, it's happened.
As always, your honesty and vulnerability is appreciated here.
I know you appreciate that speech.
I do, my friend. So it's a Bears win with an offense that played absolutely terrible. What were the vibes at Halas Hall today?
Well, I mean, it was a little bit more calmed down from Matt Eberflus's perspective. You know, he was pretty pumped up after the win yesterday. And I understood some of it because, yeah, that probably is not a game that they win last year. I mean, there were some colossal defensive collapses last year to go along with what ended up being a strong defense. So I think it started to get a little bit more real today in terms of what really happened in the game. And, hey, let's start with Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams did not look good yesterday. The numbers that he had are indicative of the way he played. 14 of 29, 93 yards. He did not turn the ball over. No interceptions. That's good. No TDs on the day. A 55.7 rating. And here's Matt Eberflus on if it was indicative.
Is it simply poor throws and a little late sometimes?
Yeah, I think he would say that too. Just, you know, his footwork a little bit off at times. But again, he threw a lot of good passes too. So met with him this morning, and that was really about it. I thought his vision was good. Yeah, I thought he was good. I thought he saw it well. I thought he, you know, saw the coverage contours. He saw zero, them adjusted on the fly, you know, in terms of post snap. I thought he did a nice job.
And it seems like when Caleb Williams has missed, a lot of the times it is by an overthrow. Is there anything to that, or just the obvious, he's putting too much air behind it?
Yeah, I mean, I would say there's not too much to it. I would just say that, you know, as the chemistry builds, you know, throughout the course of the season here, as we stack these games up, it's going to get better. You know, he's got a very accurate arm, his timing is good, and the chemistry with the receivers is going to improve every week.
So, Groats, it sounds like they've got a day today where it was an easier day to coach up because they won the game. But it sounded like there for me that there's a lot of coaching going on today.
Yeah, and you know the one thing that Matt Eberflus, Pat, was not going to answer, but I kind of wanted to ask, but I just realized that there's no way he's going to talk about game plan.
Right.
But is this cause for some, and I don't want to be too dramatic, but some sort of philosophical change in what they want Caleb to do right now? Like, was it just a bad day for Caleb Williams, or have they put too much on his plate to begin the season? And that's what I wonder. Like, what's the long-term changes that they're making? Not just the in-game, watch the tape, make some adjustments. Are there things that they have to now do going forward, whether it is compensating for what was a poor day for the offensive line, or do things to make Caleb Williams more comfortable? And I think that, you know, obviously he's a rookie. They're not going to throw every single thing at him in game one of a 17-game NFL season, but I do wonder if they'll take some things off of his plate, especially going into next week's game against Houston.
Yeah, that's a great point. I'm also wondering if they change personnel at all. Like, Cole Kmet wasn't really targeted. You know, DeVaylus Jones changed. Like, what are they going to change? Because you can take week one from all the snaps they have in live film. I forgot, it was 60-something plays in the offense. I don't even know what it was. It wasn't even that many. They can take that, and they can coach a lot more off that, to me, in my opinion, than they can of preseason snaps and snaps at Hallis Hall.
Yeah, I mean, the personnel thing will be really interesting. You know, I think that one area that Matt Eberflus did address today was the tight ends. Like, where the heck was Cole Kmet?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where's Gerald Everett? What's going on here?
Only 9 snaps for Mercedes Lewis, even if you're going to run it. You know, true, maybe you want true. More of that. But, yeah, Gerald Everett more than Kmet. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, and, you know, Matt Eberflus's answer to that was, and it was specifically asked about Cole Kmet. Where's Cole, man? You know, this is a player on the rise, a $50 million dude. He's one of your captains out there. And Matt Eberflus's answer for game one, is there are different situations where they can use Gerald Everett that maybe they weren't as comfortable using Cole Kmet in. So, like with so many things on this team right now, there are things that, and nobody wants to hear this, that are still a work in progress. That is definitely one of them. Exactly how they are going to use those two tight ends and who, you know, what they exactly want to do.
Yeah.
Offensive line, there are questions still. Wide receivers, the whole thing. There are things that they are still working through, whether you want to hear that or not.
Yeah, no, clearly. Gerald Everett, 34 snaps. Cole Kmet, 27 snaps. It was 56 overall, which is not a lot for the Chicago Bears. And just to touch on stuff that we had touched on in transition, DeAndre Carter, 13 snaps as a wide receiver. He's not thought of as an NFL wide receiver these days. 17 games for the Raiders last year, he had 7 targets. You know, this is a guy who is a return specialist. 159 targets in his life in the NFL. He's 31 years old. So it's an interesting thing. I would suspect that Tyler Scott is active next week, no matter what they do with Velus Jones, Mark.
I agree with that. Yeah, I was a little bit surprised that Tyler Scott was inactive on this day just because of how active he was during camp and even in that fourth preseason game, which I know can be a bunch of nonsense. But, you know, to your point, though, Spiegel, on DeAndre Carter, he kind of replaced, like, he was put in two positions yesterday.
Yes.
That they had not planned to put DeAndre Carter in. Yeah, Velus Jones does what he did, kicking the football. My goodness. And then DeAndre Carter comes in and he's your kick returner now. Okay, we're going to need you to do this because we need to sit Velus, because once he starts fumbling in a game, he doesn't stop fumbling in a game. So DeAndre Carter comes in and does that. They were not effective in terms of the pass game. Let's get DeAndre Carter in there. Maybe he could like, that's not ideal at this point, but at least you have that outlet that they are willing to try, and DeAndre Carter got pressed into service, and weird things happen in game ones of the NFL.
All right, so you mentioned the offensive line. Was Nate Davis benched? Is Ryan Bates going to play more center? Is Coleman Shelton the center next week? He played 100% of the snaps. What do we got going on the interior of that line, according to Flus?
Yeah, I actually want to hear what you guys have to say about this, like inferring from what Flus is saying, what he thinks is going on here. We saw, for people who were not zeroed in on it, we saw the right guard rotation between Nate Davis and Ryan Bates. Coleman Shelton was the center, and Matt Eberflus was asked, what's going on?
I mean, those guys, like I said yesterday, we're working through, you know, in the training camp. They've been rotating, and we're going to look at it this week, and we'll see where it is. Both guys have played guard a long time, and both are proficient at the job, so we'll see where it goes this week.
I guess my question is there a point where you want one guy to be there so you can have everybody in? You know, is there a point where you want that, where you want one guy?
Well, yeah, you always want your five to be, you know, all pros and sitting there solid and making sure they're good. But again, situations are different. You know, those guys have been competing in there, and we're going to let that play out.
Hey, man, you indicated that they're basically said the right guard position is still a work in progress. Is that the same for center, or is Coleman Shelton the guy?
Coleman's been in there, and he's done a good job of directing traffic and operating in there. And I know he had a couple plays where he gave up a couple pressures yesterday, and he wished he had those plays back. But, again, we're going to get better every single week.
Man.
It's not Coleman Shelton, is it? Is he going to be your center going forward?
Let me ask you.
Yeah, he's been playing the position. So Pat, that is
they've
a
got an issue. Obviously, they know it's an issue. But, Mark, also, they went against probably the two best defensive tackles, if not one, two, or three, the two Amen. Best combos. So they got exposed, but yeah, they've got some issue. And then, in your personal opinion, is that coach speak calling a rotation, or was it a benching? And what you've seen around Hallis Hall and kind of heard?
Well, like I told you guys on the pregame show, I had talked to a couple of offensive linemen. What I asked them was, was there an actual competition at center, or was it supposed to be Ryan Bates? And they said, we were wondering too. We're not completely sure. So I never got a sense, and it's very, very possible that they were withholding information from me too,
sure,
which I
sure.
would totally
yeah.
understand,
yeah.
right? So, but they never said anything about a rotation. Maybe shame on us because none of us asked the question. And I did wonder what are they going to do with Ryan Bates now? Poles loves this guy.
Yep.
And clearly there's an issue with Nate Davis. So, and I wonder what they're going to do. So there it was, the rotation. And I felt watching, I was like, oh my God, we probably should have thought or should have known this. I think the only reason maybe that I didn't completely sniff it out is because I didn't know exactly how healthy
yep.
Ryan Bates
That's,
was coming
yeah,
off of
that
shoulder
key,
injury.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
It sure looked like a benching. And I Olin this morning, we played the cut earlier, said after the one play mm-hmm. where Davis just kind of let the guy go by him who ended up making Caleb turn around on the 19-yard sack, that he would have sat him down too, is what Olin said. So that's
yeah.
that's how he took it. Like, from when we hear this, we're going to let it play out, and both guys have been proficient. Is Flew still trying to motivate Nate Davis to give a crap and play with some effort?
Honestly, they've got to be beyond that point at this point, because I think that has been going on since training camp last year.
Yeah, man.
Not this year. So if Flus hasn't used every trick in the bag, if Chris Morgan, the offensive line coach, hasn't used every trick in the bag, I would be very surprised. That Ryan Poles, even, I would yeah. guess, I would suspect, since he is the guy ultimately who gave him the $30 million, I do think that all of these guys have probably tried to motivate him, and clearly to no avail, and I think that they are in a stuck position right now. Because, look, if Nate Davis was properly motivated, or whatever is going on with him that is going on with him, like, I like him as the right guard. I really do. Mm. Like, there were nice times last year when he did play with him playing that position. So at this point, though, you have a problem that needs to be fixed.
One thing I kind of see in this, and I could be completely wrong, is that this is a way to work him back into game shape, Ryan Bates. Because he hadn't really.
Also, Pat, one thing I should have added too, they did bring Nate Davis back in. They were legitimately
yeah.
back and forth,
yep.
rotating. So that's the only dent in the theory of a benching. I like the theory because he probably deserved it, but I think that the fact that they were going back and forth, that does tell me that was the plan going in. And maybe you're right. Yeah, let's ease in Ryan Bates, and then maybe eventually he gets that spot. I don't know.
At 5 o'clock on this show, we're going to talk to Jalen Johnson, a guy who got paid in the offseason and has seemed to come back stronger, edgier, angrier. in a somewhat related story to what we've been talking about, in my opinion, anyway. All right, let's talk about the defense and the halftime adjustments that seem to have gone on in that locker room, Groats.
Yeah, you love it because we're always like, what about the halftime adjustments? Well, it at least appeared that there were some of those. The Bears defense did not allow Tennessee to get the ball past midfield in the second half, and Kevin Byard was talking about it.
Yeah, we was confident coming out of halftime that if we would shirt up the run game, they wouldn't be able to draw the ball on something at all. I think our biggest thing, especially in the first half, was being good on first and second down. Because I think we won 11 out of 14 third down. So it really wasn't the third downs like that it was killed. Just even though we gave up a big third down, a couple of them. But it was mainly just being, once we was good on first down, kept them in second and long, after that it was pretty much a wrap. So like I said, that's just as confident as we were. We knew that they were going to try to come out and run the ball. So we tried to make them one dimensional. And once we did that, like you said, we felt like they couldn't move the ball on us at all.
And Grody, I listened to the press conference of Flus too. He talked about how it felt different from years past.
Yeah.
That to me, that got me excited because I've been in some of those rooms that, you know, maybe it was later in the year we're depleted with some of our good guys or earlier in my career that you came into a halftime a game like that and you're like, oh man, let's go see what we can do. But then there were some years, Grody, that I was like, we're going to be okay. You could hear and see them with Babich and Lovey and all those guys talking to them. There wasn't really screaming and yelling. It was just more of a discussion. This is what we got to do. We're going to be okay. Take care of this. We're going to do this adjustment. Let's see what happens.
I think they learned from mistakes of the first half of the season, and there were some bad moments for the defense last year, even though on the overall, they ended up being a good defense and one that I think might be able to take the next step this year. But I think that's why Eberflus was so – and I allowed for it with Eberflus. He was elated yesterday about the Bears winning that game because it sure doesn't feel like a game that they would have won early last year. I mean, they started off – 0-4. So as shabby as the offense looked in this game, the defense not only picked the offense up, but finished the game and held strong towards the end. So they knew that they were better than they showed in the first half. And there's just so much talent on the individual talent on that defense that you knew eventually it was going to start to show itself. And it did.
Yeah, and just to take you into the locker room, like just when I was there and I saw it on ChicagoBears.com that they're partying and dancing, that feels so good when you come back from those wins. It feels amazing. But the problem is you got to go in on Monday and you got to get corrected. And you really get to see the tape and you're like, it wasn't that good, but it feels so good in that locker room.
Pat, that's why today just felt a little bit different. You know, Matt Eberflus was probably relatively fresh off watching the tape, and there wasn't – and everybody's a little tired, too. I understand that. I mean, everybody's probably got adrenaline going up late, people going out, the whole thing, which they all deserve. But, yes, it's pretty amazing. Like, that 24-hour rule just sounds cliche at this point. But
it's
you
real.
Know this, Pat. It's real.
You feel
isn't
it like, as a player. Coaches are coming in all angry, and you're like, we're 1-0. And you're like, guys, I don't know how we did it, but you did this wrong. This wrong. You got to get better at this. So those meetings were not fun offensively. Defensively, first half were not going to be fun, but the second half would be for those guys.
Well, man, they got it done, and they got it done with some old school methodology of a punt block touchdown and a pick six touchdown. What did Kevin Byard think of the Tyreek Stevenson play?
Oh, guys, this is the anatomy of a pick six here. Tyreek Stevenson took the honors on the interception, but DeMarcus Walker put on the pressure, and Will Levis made a poor decision. Here's Kevin Byard on how it all went down.
Yeah, I was actually in the middle of the field. I was covering, and so I'm seeing D-Walk, obviously, right? I'm thinking it's about to be a sack, but I knew Will, because he tried to do it. Well, he did it early in the game, tried to throw the ball away, but I was not anticipating it was going to be a pick, honestly. I thought the ball was going to go out of bounds. So to see Reek make a heads-up play, because honestly, if you slow it down on the film, Reek had his guy covered, but as soon as he threw the ball out of bounds, he really just kind of burst towards the ball, and a lot of times we do that as a defensive back. Like you just trying to burst towards the ball and actually fell right into his lap. So, like I said, it was an awesome play. You know, run to the end zone, celebrate with your teammates.
Brody, was Kevin ever honest about Will Levis and his thoughts about him? You know, being a former teammate? Because I guarantee you, in that defensive room, he's like, guys, he's going to throw it to us. This has seen him do it. This is what he's going to do. If you put pressure on him, it's going to happen. He never opened up that much. I think he's too much of a pro, but my guess is he was telling guys in the locker room that, hey, we're going to get ours.
Oh, I think so. I mean, the only thing that he gave us, when I say us, the media, was that that Will Levis has a tendency to, and we saw some of it yesterday. I mean, he's a big guy. Will Levis does not like to slide right. He likes to try to go through you. He likes to try to go around you. He is not one of those guys that wants to slide immediately. So I think that was the only thing that he gave away. Tyreek Stevenson, though, you know, talking to him in the locker room yesterday, saying something to the effect of, if he's gonna make that dumb of a play, then we're going to capitalize on it. So it does make me wonder if Tyreek Stevenson is so comfortable calling the opposing team's quarterback dumb or saying that he made a dumb
that's
play.
That's what I'm getting at. Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
It makes me wonder, yep. Pat, just like that's great intuition on your part that you wonder if Byard was in there saying, look, this, you could do this, yes.
and
that with
and, you know, if you're going to make dumb decisions like that, we're going to make him pay for it.
All right, Groats,
yeah.
Before you give us delicious Bears nuggets,
yes.
Rome Odunze getting an MRI is, yep, the scariest news of the day.
Yeah, and we are waiting for information on that. As you said, it's a knee injury. Matt Eberflus, although he wasn't very exact, seemed a little bit confused as to how he injured it. His indication to us was that it happened with Rome Odunze trying to block. Matt Eberflus also said that they were informed during the game. We did not receive a report on Rome Odunze's knee. I will say this, that in the locker room afterwards, Rome Odunze probably spoke to the media longer than anybody. And I don't think, unfortunately, I did not get to Rome Odunze because I was off doing other stuff, but I don't think that there was any talk about the knee injury there. And typically, Pat, you know this, like if a player is injured, they're not going to spend a lot of time talking to the media. They're probably going to get treatment.
They'd be getting treatment. The thing that I'll be the an ex-Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram doctor here. The next play, he still was out there blocking, and he limped off afterwards, but he was engaged with somebody and, you know, was pushing on somebody. I think if you had, like, an ACL, you wouldn't be able to physically do that. And then for him, what you just said, to talk to the media, that says a lot. The thing, what maybe happened is over the night, it swelled up, right? It swells up, he comes to the training room, let's go up precautionary, go ahead and look at this. Okay, it's tight or whatever. Let's just hope nothing's bad has happened, but that's just me being a social media doctor.
Well, you're pretty damn good at it. Dr. Chow himself is my partner this afternoon on the score. Rome Odunze apparently injured when Velus Jones was hit into him on a Velus Jones screen pass. So Velus has that going for him, which really makes him a favorite for fans in extra ways.
That almost sounds like a joke. And it was, yes, Velus Jones who caught, like, come on. Like,
it was a joke yesterday.
All right, look here. I am at the point where I do feel bad for Velus Jones Jr. because he's not the one who drafted himself in the third round and has been forced into all these critical positions and was kept on the roster, although there was a fourth round pick dangling for him. So it's too bad. And one of my nuggets here too, Matt Eberflus was non-committal about what is next for Velus Jones. And, you know, he was asked about, you know, kick returning. He had two runs or something like that, 12, 13 yards. And as we talked about in the pregame, there's no way they were going to trust him with the ball in the fourth quarter regardless. So I don't know. It continues to be frustrating. The last thing I will tell you guys, unless you guys have more questions, is that I will be back at 7 o'clock talking Bears right after the Take the North podcast at 6 o'clock.
Ooh.
With David Hall.
How about that?
And check me out, Hall. And Dan Weider. So it's going to be a very, I mean, you guys are in the, you're
whoa,
in the midst of this. Yeah. It's a Bears block like no other.
And
you
Grody,
two guys.
And Grody, next Sunday night, you get to host post game for us.
That's right.
Yep.
I can't wait, man. I'm gonna be in studio with you and Olin. It's gonna be an absolute blast.
Let's hope for a good week.
Grody, you're the best. Thanks, brother.
Later, guys. Bye.
You are listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority. If you missed our conversation with Kurt Warner from today's show, you can go back and listen with the rewind feature, something you can only do in the Odyssey app. Search 670 The Score and tap earlier today to get started. Got a couple of phone callers on the line. Let's hear from you, The Score listener. As you made an appearance yesterday, by the way, The Score listener did, in the pregame hype package on Fox on NFL.
That's right. Was that your name was in there too?
I
saw something on Twitter. And
insert
I was like,
your name here.
Yeah.
Yeah. That host was awesome.
Confidence in the quarterback here in Chicago. That is an unfamiliar feeling and a delightful
The quarterback situation in the past, you know, it's not the best.
We never had a franchise quarterback.
We haven't had the consistency.
Oh, dig yourself.
Score callers in there? Yes. David Haw, unheard there, but was indeed a part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I let it off. Yeah. You know, it's, they know what they're doing.
100%.
Yeah. It's easy to go national when you start in the afternoons here on the
show. Oh, I heard that. Yeah.
It's easy. It's just a stepping stone. Gotcha. This show is merely a stepping stone for all affiliates of Fox. I got to hear how our boy reacted to Caleb being bad. So we'll hear from Danny a little bit later on this hour. But we'll come back and take your phone calls at 312-644-6767. This is The Score.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Tune in all day tomorrow for a Plumbers 911 Football Monday.
I get to work with Spiegs tomorrow.
Do you?
Yeah,
you
one of his million co-hosts.
I told Spiegs on Friday, I said, Spiegs, you're starting to feel like me. Like, is it you? That's what I felt like with the quarterback. Eventually, are you the problem, right? That's what I started to think when we got to, like, quarterback 18. I was like, Spiegs, like, you – eventually, you got to look in the mirror like Matt Nagy, right? You got to buy the big mirror and ask yourself, man, maybe I'm the problem.
I quit on him once before.
Oh, boy. Well, there you go. That's
right. Yeah, Olin's right. You know, just put me right up there with all the quarterbacks that Olin snapped to and then weren't good enough. He was the problem, clearly. Oh, my God. Spiegs and Pat Mattingly on 670 The Score on a Bears Monday. Interesting day. Interesting game. Caleb was bad. The offense was shaky, but they won the game. So that means what kind of mood for our friend Shad on the south side on The Score? Shad, welcome in. Shad, you with me? We'll put Shad.
My man.
Hello, sir.
Yes, sir. I'm talking to my four favorite Duke representative, Pat. Dr. Pat.
I love it.
I got a question, Pat.
Yeah.
You giving out advice. Got any advice for Rash after watching that Bears offense left yesterday?
Send me a picture on Twitter and I'll see if I can diagnose it.
Please don't. Where's the Rash?
Trust me. Let me say this, though. Speaks.
Yo.
February 21st, man, my favorite day of the year so far. We had our town hall discussion. I had you guys tell me about building and restructuring things around town, you know. The Bears decided to bring new flooring in. If this was the floor week one, I'm a little frightened. I'm a little frightened. And I want you guys to really discuss the component towards more play calling balance with the quarterback. I think a lot of it was he didn't look comfortable, not only with what they were calling, but wasn't until they went to hurry up that you saw him look natural on the field. He was pressing. First down, they didn't really get in any rhythm, get anything going. So on third and longs, they weren't efficient. Toys was supposed to be the floor for this kid. I know it's early to judge his long-term ceiling, but can we pivot on that? Is it coaching? Is it something with the players? Talk to me.
I don't see a lack of poise. I mean, maybe I'm in the minority there, but I don't believe that I am. I think you're going to see, Shane Waldron, who as an offensive coordinator has done a lot of different things within the course of a single season and can change it up. You are going to see him change it up now. For what Caleb Williams is comfortable with, for what the league is going to be asking him to do, trying to contain him, make him play from the pocket, and certainly the vulnerabilities of the middle of that offensive line. I don't see a quarterback who lacks poise. He threw a touchdown pass, and Keenan Allen dropped by the end of that game. He was still comfortable, in my opinion, and did not end up turning the ball over, and that is a very good thing. This is game one of a rookie quarterback trying to figure it out. He's got work to do, but I still believe that he's going to figure it out.
Yeah, I went back and rewatched the TV copy, and I was a little more encouraged with his demeanor than I was when I watched it live. I'm sitting there, trying to watch everything else, and I watched him a little bit more, and we talked about earlier in the show that he seemed kind of poised the entire game. But again, Speaks, this is the first day on the hardest sports job in the world. He had that yesterday. He won the game. No turnovers. Only 92 yards. I wanted to see more. But again, going back to his poise and just the way he reacted to the start of the game, to the end of the game, trying to come back, he always seemed like the moment isn't too big. And that's one thing that I kind of got a feeling about that for him. So I got a little more excited after watching the second copy that I watched, that I'm okay. There's some execution stuff, like we talked about, that he talked about that was not right. But also, I think that had to deal with the interior off the line. Really, really made him struggle. I think that made him struggle.
Let's go to Jerry, who's out there on I-80 on 670 The Score. What's up, Jerry?
A couple of concerns. I haven't heard it all day, and I don't understand why people aren't saying that the Titans lost the game, because the Bears certainly didn't win. On the punt, the punter actually took an extra step. So that's why that closed down.
Well, we have Pat Manley who's shaking his head and can refute that.
But no, the right guard got beat.
Yeah, right guard got beat by a really good punt block. So you're going to have to throw that one away. Go ahead, yep. Next.
The interception, when our quarterback's smart enough to take the 19-yard penalty, their quarterback is stupid enough to throw the ball as he's fallen down in the general direction of our cornerback, which is ridiculous. I really got a question, Ryan Poles, who was an offensive lineman. We haven't got a quality lineman in here since Tevin Jenkins. Braxton's okay, but if you saw in the game yesterday,
what about Darnell Wright?
Darnell
Wright's pretty good.
The pick six is a gift by a very dumb play from Will Levis.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You make the most of it, and you take your gift, and you run screaming to the end zone. I'm concerned about the middle of the offensive line, but I think Darnell Wright's a keeper
He had a good game.
On the right tackle.
Yeah, he played a decent game.
Okay. Tanner's in Wheeling on 670 The Score. What's up, Tanner?
Hey, guys. First of all, Pat, I just want to say your IPA, one of my favorite IPAs out there. It's an excellent beer. So,
Tanny, get that cut right there, please. Tanny's got it. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. We got to talk a little bit more about Velus Jones, I think. I'm baffled by this. I really don't understand it. So if we're considering him a running back, by my count, that means there's five running backs on the roster. I don't know of many NFL rosters that have five running backs on them. So I'm confused by that.
the other running backs that are on the roster are serviceable running backs. It's not like they're, you know, lacking depth there, clearly. So running back, I don't know why he's needed there. Kick return and punt return, DeAndre Carter looked great yesterday doing that. Yes. So he's not needed there, and he screwed up at that. So he's not needed there either. And I think of the positions that he's played at, receiver is probably, I think we can all agree, probably the worst position of those three that he's been at. So I don't understand it. Cordarrelle Patterson, when he was here, was my favorite player on the Bears. This guy is not Cordarrelle Patterson.
No. They dream of it, Tanner.
Yeah.
I think you're spot on with everything. Four tailbacks got snaps yesterday. And then also the fullback Blasingame. Roschon Johnson, inactive. Tyler Scott, an extra wide receiver, would have been helpful, was inactive. And DeAndre Carter got 13 snaps at wide receiver. He is not an NFL wide receiver. He's a real good returner. You've got Velus and DeAndre Carter as return specialists, essentially, on an active roster. And I don't think you can have both of them on the active roster.
I think they're hoping that Velus was a gadget guy. Like he's talked about Cordarrelle Patterson, where you can use him in the backfield, also play special teams. He's also on a couple of the special teams things and be a returner.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're booting the ball like that, I can't put you on the field.
Well,
I can't trust you. The other things you got to do to be the gadget guy, I just can't put you on the field.
Khalil Herbert had six snaps at running back. Velus had four. I don't think Khalil Herbert ends up on the active roster next week if Velus Jones is on the active roster next week. And that feels crazy
to me.
That
doesn't make sense to me.
Because you've got, like,
you want
Travis
your best
Homer.
Players. And I understand special teams and 53 guys you got to move around and all that stuff. But Khalil Herbert has earned the right to be on the field. To get more carries than that.
I predict, say it like you mean it, Velus Jones will be inactive.
Yeah, I think so.
This next Sunday against the Houston Texans. Let's go national and see what some of the pundits, well, really just one of them, had to say about the Bears and Caleb. And let's judge the new broadcaster as well. All of this in advance of Jalen Johnson on the score at the top of the hour.
Justin Fields makes his Steelers debut. They have a lot of confidence that Fields can operate this offense. And then, of course, the added dimension in the open field as a runner. They look to throw on first down. Taking a shot. He wants Pickens. He's got him. Pickens back to his feet. Inside the 20. Biggest play of the day for the Steelers. Fields hits Pickens for 51.
Justin Fields forever.
17 for 23 for Justin Fields, 156 yards passing, 57 yards running on 14 carries. Six field goals did the Steelers get for an 18-10 win in Atlanta. I'm sure Justin enjoyed getting a win in his home state of Georgia. And I don't know that there's anybody calling for more Justin over Russell Wilson after that game, but good for him to not to turn the ball over and to get a win for the Steelers.
Well, he got the win, right? But you just, all those numbers you just said, we've seen that here.
Yeah.
We've seen that story, right?
Yes, we have.
We've watched all of it. I mean, mm-hmm. 18 points, too. That's what, I forgot what the final score was. I saw his stat line earlier, and I scrolled up, and I was like, yeah, 18 points.
Yeah.
And that's just not getting the ball to the end zone. But, hey, listen, I wish him the best. I love that Caleb's here. It is always going to be a story, I think, for just this year to compare those two together. But those stats aren't that impressive.
Yeah, it's a weird day. It's a weird day in the NFL. I was watching Red Zone all afternoon and caught...
Oh, yeah. Hold on. How was your day?
It was delightful. Thank
I don't know
you.
If people know what your day was, how it was set up, but
we'll,
I was a little
we'll
jealous
there.
Of that.
Yeah. We'll get there, Pat. I want to roll through some of this tape, but
gotcha.
I appreciate you asking.
We're going to get there later, because I'm still jealous.
We will definitely get there. But here, I was listening to watching Red Zone, and there's Luke Getsy getting some camera time. And Tony Romo, was this a stray for Chicago?
Luke Getsy comes over from Chicago. I know he took a lot of flack as a play caller out there, like almost anybody does in Chicago.
Gilman.
But I like him. I think he's a really good offensive play caller, Jim.
Oh, shut up.
He's showing that a little bit today.
Shut up, Tony. Shut up. Any play caller gets flack in Chicago. Go screw Tony Romo. He stinks.
I am really impressed watching the tape this week by Luke Getsy, the offensive coordinator.
That Getsy guy is really impressed by him.
Really
huh?
likes him.
Yeah,
really likes him a lot.
Yeah.
That's like me and Caleb.
It's like, Romo likes him so much, he finally got his name right. And then let's hear how some national jamoke on a brilliantly titled show, Breakfast Ball, was talking about his delightful Caleb Williams after the quarterback did not play well in his debut that the Bears did win.
Welcome to Breakfast Ball, everybody, alongside Craig Carton, Danny Parkins. I am Mark Schlereth, and the first Sunday of the NFL season in the books. One of the things we always talk about in the NFL, all three phases, right? Offense, defense, special teams. Guess what? Chicago played two phases yesterday and still came away with a victory as Caleb went 14 of 29 for a whopping 93 yards.
What?
And he's on pace to get over 10 touchdown passes, set a rookie record in Chicago. He got zero. So I think he's on pace.
Zero.
So I want to know from Danny, how do you grade his performance?
Well, it wasn't great. It wasn't what I wanted.
Right?
But a couple of things. A couple of things. I do feel vindicated in some way.
Okay. Shocker.
Let me get my notes out here. Vindicated.
I said this is the best situation we've ever seen a number one pick quarterback walk into.
Uh-huh.
And he had 93 passing yards and at times looked overwhelmed by the speed of an NFL game. And they won.
Mm.
So it's a pretty good situation.
Well, he found a way to spin it to him being vindicated. I can't believe he did that.
But I didn't mean that. I didn't mean it like that, obviously. Clearly, I just want the team to be good, and Caleb was the quarterback when the team won their first game of the season.
I'm not interested in what his numbers will be. I'm pivoting to that. And a shocker to nobody.
He'll be on the show tomorrow.
He will be on the show tomorrow.
Mr. Wright.
Mr. Wright. Mr. Often correct.
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
I miss a day and the intern gets the 440 segment. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, Danny, well, now he's the new Afternoon Drive co-host Speaks. Peter, what was his name again?
Ponderings. His last name was Sponderings.
Skronsky.
Peter Skronsky.
Are you going to give him the 440 segment tomorrow?
Peter Skronsky?
No.
We should put Danny in the 440
yeah,
segment.
See?
That's a good call.
That's a very good call.
You still got it, dude. You still have that radio brain.
I was listening.
Yeah,
it's
you were.
It's called a skill, I think, listening. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, well, yeah, listening is a skill.
Yeah. Yes, it is a skill.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's always been a skill.
Okay.
All right. Well, good for Danny. I'm glad he found a way to make it make him correct and make him feel vindicated.
I am looking forward to listening to him on that show for the rest of the year and talk about how right he is.
Well,
I can't wait. Just kidding.
I'm good. But we'll let him do it tomorrow. We'll let him do it tomorrow on this show.
At 440?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think 440 is a great call if he's available. You know, I do not believe
we've given away our Vampire Weekend tickets. So have the contest line ready when you hear that famous guitar riff.
The guitar riff. Yeah, you had to learn it's called a riff.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I learned that from that segment.
Yeah. By the way, you asked, my day was delightful.
Your day.
It was mostly delightful. I had the chance to watch a football game alone in the house and take my notes and tweet with the listeners and hang out with everybody and have delicious snacks. Sat in the recliner. Didn't sit in the beverage. That would have been messy. Sat in the recliner with a beautiful breeze.
Yes.
It was very similar to the way that Shane Reardon watched yesterday's Bears game,
I
think.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Very similar.
Yeah, shoved in a pickup truck with my entire family, my parents alternating snoring, watching the game on an iPad using my phone as a hotspot while it buffered every 25 seconds. It was a horrible
experience. Did Caleb look
any
better or worse that way?
I mean, better because I missed a lot of it. Live.
Oh, poor you.
Yeah. Actually, yes, poor me for that one, Danny.
Yeah.
That stinks. I mean, everybody's been waiting for this game. And you had to watch it that way.
Because he had the audacity, or excuse me, the odyssey, to attend a family wedding in another state. Can you believe that? It's Spiegs and Manalee on the Scores Afternoon Show. Let's talk to Jalen Johnson. Our guy is back. Bears Mondays at 5 o'clock. Jalen Johnson on the Score. That's next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here, and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.